Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode, which is being dropped on the 30th day of March 2021, we are going to be previewing the National League Central for 2021 with all the hosts of the Locked On shows covering the National League Central teams, plus in-depth fantasy baseball analysis from Scott Cullen, who is the host of the fantastic Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. This show is available for free on the radio.com app and wherever you get your podcasts. And when you're staying at home trying to beat this thing, we're going to do it, but let's not be cocky. Wear your mask. Don't be stupid. And tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including all the shows that are going to be featured on today's program: Locked On Cardinals, Locked On Cubs, Locked On Pirates, Locked On, what are the other two ones? Reds, and Locked On Brewers. Took me a second to remember all of them. I'm doing this kind of late at night. Also, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Look, you got to get your team all set up. Scott Cullen, he knows what to do. Trust him. So, leading off on the NL Central preview show is going to be Lucas Smith of Locked On Cardinals.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lucas Smith, host of Locked On Cardinals. Here is my division preview question and answers. The first question is, what is the biggest storyline around your team going into the season? It's hard to pick anything that is not Nolan Arenado. Cardinals finally did make the trade to get Nolan from Colorado for almost nothing, and they will be paying him nothing this season, whether he opts out or whether he continues with his contract that's set for another 7 years if he does not opt out after this year or next. So Nolan Arenado was the big splash the Cardinals made. Other than that, the only two big major league level moves they made were to bring back the quote legacy players of Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina. So there's no question. There's nothing else around this team that was as big as Nolan Arenado signing, or rather getting traded to St. Louis, and that gives the Cardinals one of the best first third base combos in all of baseball. It gives them one of the best third basemen in all of baseball on its own. It gives them a powerful 3-4 punch in the middle of that lineup that it desperately needed, that had a lot of questions at the end of 2020 of could this team hit enough to be a legit postseason threat. And now they can, with Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt manning the 3 and 4 positions, maybe 2-3 depending on how the lineup is constructed. This lineup got a lot deadlier pretty much overnight when that was made, and that pretty much as well answers the second question of who's the biggest offseason addition. And it was a lot of frustration for St. Louis with a lack of offseason movement, a lot of rumors flying around, a lot of maybes, a lot of, oh, what about this possible outfielder? But it ended up just being Nolan Arenado. Was the big add for St. Louis, and it elevates this team on both sides of the baseball. He's 8-time gold glover, multiple platinum glove winner, so there's no question as to the improvement of what Nolan Arenado brings. It is huge. So in involved in that would be best case scenario, and that would be a pennant. You could go as far to say a World Series. I would say best case scenario is a World Series berth. I think that this team has the capability to get hot, and I think that a division crown is well within their reach. Right, so that's not the best case scenario. That's probably the expectation, is a division championship, especially with the weaker NL Central. But best case scenario is a World Series championship team, and I think with this bullpen that I'm super excited about, the pitching in general has the capability to shut down any offense. And with this offense, especially with the addition of Nolan Arenado, best case is 100% a World Series championship. Worst case scenario is the Cardinals not making the postseason. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, with the big upside on this team, there also is that big downside. There definitely is the possibility for the outfield not hitting, for pitchers that I am high on not performing. I'm not completely blind to say that there is a huge downside, and worst case scenario is them not making the postseason. Because even if the Cardinals are able to win the wild card, then, you know, you at least have some opportunity to make some noise in October, get hot at the right time, and knock out some favorites. But the worst case scenario is not making the playoffs. And again, even though I am high on this pitching staff, there's always that question mark of what if guys don't perform to their expectations. So worst case scenario, you know, knocking on wood here at my desk in Columbia, Missouri, but worst case scenario is the Cardinals fall short of the playoffs, and then you have to really reevaluate what the Cardinals value in terms of talent. Talent-wise, and when we're talking about a young player or a prospect that has a chance of becoming a household name, it's hard for me to really pick anybody other than Dylan Carlson. In my mind, one of the Rookie of the Year favorites, you know, a little biased, but I think he should win the award this year. Came up last year, mightily struggled against basically anything that wasn't a fastball. Got sent down, called back up, and really performed. Hit .278, couple home runs, handful of extra base hits, I think 11 RBIs in 12 games or something to that effect. So Dylan Carlson is definitely a five-tool kind of player that hits from left and right side of the plate that has the capability, as this question says, to be a household name. Because he can literally do it all. We saw the defense, we saw the arm, we saw the speed, we've seen the speed in spring training with a number of extra base hits and triple, and he's got the power. We saw the power over the weekend as well with another big mammoth shot. So definitely Dylan Carlson is the guy to keep your eye on if you're looking for a young stud to carry this team, and he can really carry the outfield, especially as the outfield has a ton of question marks surrounding it with guys that could perform or could not, but a lot of confidence in Dylan Carlson. Overall projections, I'm going to put them, I've talked about the cap as about 93, 94 wins, so I'm going to put them at a 91 win team. I think that'd be 91 and 73, if I remember correctly. So 91, they're going to win the division is my prediction. And I said best case scenario is a World Series first/championship, but I'm going to be realistic. I say that they can make it to the National League Championship Series, and I definitely think that a deep run in that series is possible. So I think BetOnline has them over under 87.5. I'm comfortably taking the over. I'm putting them at 91 wins is my realistic expectation. First place in the NL Central, and a deep run in the postseason that gets them to the NLCS. Probably losing to the Padres or Dodgers once they get to that point. But that is the preview special for the St. Louis Cardinals. You can follow me on Twitter at LJFastball, follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at LO_Cardinals, and make sure to follow along for the entire season. It should be a fun one. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe, stay well, have a great day.
If you're looking for fantasy value on the St. Louis Cardinals, have a look at outfielder Dylan Carlson. St. Louis's top prospect struggled in the majors in 2020, but he did show flashes. It looks like he's going to be a very productive player. The question is, how soon? He's worth a mid to late round pick to find out if it could happen this season. On the other hand, maybe be cautious about taking third baseman Nolan Arenado too early. Is it negative to rain on the Cardinals' newest acquisition? Not necessarily. Arenado may well be a productive hitter, but leaving Colorado is not likely to bring better numbers. It happened for DJ LeMahieu, but that doesn't make it the standard.
Jake Mastriani of Lockdown Brewers is up next. What's Milwaukee's chances?
Hey, this is Jake with Lockdown Brewers, giving you my preview for the Milwaukee Brewers for the upcoming season. The biggest storyline for the Brewers going into 2021 will be, what will this offense look like? It's no secret that they were terrible last year in 2020, and the players that they brought in this offseason in Colton Wong and Jackie Bradley Jr. are known more for their defense. So the Brewers are really hoping that guys like Christian Yelich, Keston Hira, Avisel Garcia, and then getting Lorenzo Cain back, that they'll all bounce back and make this one of the best offenses in the National League again. But to me, that's the biggest storyline that I'll be paying attention to all season, is how does this offense bounce back, and can they become a top half of the league offense once again? The biggest offseason addition for the Brewers has to be the Colton Wong. Not only does he dramatically improve the team defensively, but we were able to steal him from a division rival in the Cardinals, so that's a big win as well. He's going to really help the others on the infield elevate their game defensively, which in turn will just make this pitching staff, which is already elite, even better. Also like the at-bats I've seen from Colton Wong and in spring training with him batting leadoff, so he can give the team a boost there as well to get on and be able to steal a bag. The best case scenario for this Brewers team in 2021 is that Christian Yelich becomes the MVP candidate that we know he is, and either Brandon Woodruff or Corbin Burns are in the Cy Young discussion. And it wouldn't be crazy for either of those things to happen. You know, Yelich obviously won the MVP in 2018 and finished second in 2019. I personally believe 2020 was an aberration, and he'll be back to his MVP level of play in 2021. Woodruff was an all-star in 2019, and Burns garnered Cy Young votes in 2020 as well. So, you know, it's pretty easy, you know, to conceive that either of them could compete for an NL Cy Young award. And while both of those are individual awards, obviously, if, you know, each of those things happen and those three are at the top of their game competing with the best in the league, then that's only going to mean great things for the Brewers as a team this season. On the flip side, the worst-case scenario for this Brewers team in 2021 is if the back half of the starting rotation doesn't step up and we end up with two Cy Youngs candidates atop the rotation and a bunch of number five starters behind them. I obviously don't think that's going to happen. I think the Brewers will have somebody like an Adrian Houser step up. But it's, you know, that is the biggest weakness for the Brewers, in my opinion, going into the season, is just that back half of the rotation. They really need somebody to step up there and support Woodruff and Burns in that rotation. So that's the worst case scenario for the Brewers that I could possibly see happening for them this coming season. If you're looking for a prospect who could become a household name for the Brewers in 2021, they don't have a ton of big time prospects that will be ready to make their debut this season, but I do like Drew Rasmussen. He's somebody who made his debut with the Brewers in 2020, but he's somebody that I think could have a huge impact on the team in 2021 coming out of the bullpen. Somebody that I could see being the next Josh Hader. He struggled with control at times, but he has, you know, big time stuff, big time strikeout potential that he showed at times, even in the 2020 season and throughout his minor league career. So Drew Rasmussen is somebody that I think could break through, and that a lot of people will know that name by the end of the 2021 season. And then my prediction for the Brewers this season is that I think they'll win the NL Central behind a very good pitching staff and with a bounce back offensively from several key contributors. I could see them winning the division with 91, 92 wins. I don't think it's going to take a whole lot to win the NL Central this year. I know most people consider the Cardinals to be the favorite, but I honestly think the Brewers are a better team. So we'll see how that matchup plays throughout the year. But depending on who they match up against in the postseason, I think their elite power pitching of the Brewers gives them a chance to win just about any series that they're in. But it would be hard to see them getting past the Dodgers or the Padres. I think that would be the two biggest challenges for them in the National League. So that's why I put the ceiling for this team at the NLCS. That would still be a very good year, good season for this team if they're able to reach that. Again, you never know how things are going to line up and what things are going to look like, you know, 6 months from now, but I think with the pitching that the Brewers have, they can compete with just about anybody on any given day. So really excited about this Brewers team and the potential that they have going into the 2021 season, and excited to see how it plays out. But that will do it for me, Jake Mastriani at Locked On Brewers. Make sure that you follow the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast, and follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall, and we'll talk to you next time.
If you're looking for fantasy value on the Milwaukee Brewers, take a look at starting pitcher Corbin Burns. It's one thing to say not to overrate 2020 results, but it doesn't make any sense to completely ignore a 2.11 ERA, 1.02 whip, and 13.3 strikeouts per nine in 59 and two-thirds innings either. Burns might be a legit ace, but the sample size is small enough that he comes with some risk, but the reward could be pretty great. On the other hand, Brewers star outfielder Christian Yelich, his stock is down from where he was prior to last season, when he probably would have been a top 5 pick overall, maybe top 3 even. He was so terrible in 2020 that he at least slides to late first or early second round in fantasy drafts this year. He's worth it there because his track record suggests as much, but that's the point of buying a depressed stock.
Hey, you know, I'm about to go on a big drive. I got to check my tires. I got to check my oil. I got to check my car. I got to figure out what the best thing to do. What should I do? I should go to rockauto.com. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody. They're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices available rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody. Doesn't require a membership or an account login. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and the prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need are at rockauto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes on the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Hey, what's up with the Chicago Cubs? Didn't they win the division last year? Technically? Are they going to completely rebuild this team? I don't know. Let's ask Sean Sears of Locked On Cubs.
So, the biggest storyline following the Chicago Cubs this season will be what they do with their core four players. Those being Javier Baez, Wilson Contreras, Anthony Rizzo, and Chris Bryant. Bryant, Rizzo, and Baez, all free agents after the 2021 season. Wilson Contreras, a free agent after the 2022 season. Four key guys that make up the nucleus of what this Cubs team and identity has really been these last couple of years. The frustrating part about this right now is the Cubs are kind of in a difficult spot where they have to decide to keep players long-term that have kind of underperformed these last few years. Not necessarily drastically, but 2020 was not great for any of these players mentioned. And 2019 was good, not great either. We've seen this Cubs team underperform. So the Cubs have to answer the question, is this core still the group that can go and be one of the best teams in baseball? Or are you ready to move on from them, try and get some pieces back, and allow some of the future Cubs of tomorrow year come in and maybe get a chance a little bit earlier? That's kind of the growing concern because the Cubs didn't really pick a direction this offseason. They've kind of rode this line between retooling and rebuilding. And I think they were anticipating not being able to have as much money on their team, but I think there's a pipe dream scenario for Cubs fans that involves the Cubs being relatively good in 2021, staying relatively competitive in this division that should be winnable in the NL Central, and getting enough money from the influx of fans being able to come into Wrigley Field. They're currently at 20%. Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot and Governor J.B. Pritzker have been very optimistic about the numbers climbing for vaccinated people in the state. They're hoping that as the season goes on and the number of vaccinated people continues to rise, they might be able to invite more and more fans into Wrigley. And as Tom Ricketts has consistently said, they apparently make more than 60% of the money at the gate for the Cubs on a collective game day. All comes from at gate in sales, what's going on at Wrigley, which makes sense, but probably shouldn't be making as big of an impact as it is. But if the Cubs are hoping that more fans coming in here bringing in more revenue, they might actually be able to make some moves and improve at the deadline as opposed to maybe dealing at the deadline. That's all contingent on whether or not, though, this team finds success and then can convince themselves to extend some of these guys long term. Will that happen? That's a great question. Best case scenario for the Chicago Cubs this year is that they win this division, that they come out and win maybe somewhere between 85 to 90 games. That's probably going to keep you in play in this NL Central. Anything above 90 probably gets you this division. I don't think any team right now is currently projected to get anywhere close to that. And looking at the numbers, I don't see many teams winning 95, 100 games in the NL Central this year. So what has to happen for the Cubs to be competitive and keep the things afloat? They have to probably win this division because they're probably not going to get a wild card. There's going to be probably one playoff team from the NL Central. So they have to win this division, and they have to hope that their pitching, that's really the key here, their pitching can stay competitive. Without Yu Darvish, you're looking at Kyle Hendricks, Zach Davies, and Jake Arrieta as one of the three few starters locked in this rotation, while the rest of the spots, probably up for grabs. Trevor Williams in that mix, Alec Mills, Edbert Elzeli. There's options there, but no one really proven. It's going to be the pitching that decides the outcome for the Cubs, because I think their offense, even if it comes back to career norms for some of these guys, should still be enough to be competitive. Worst case scenario for the Chicago Cubs is they get off to a terrible start to the 2021 season and put themselves in a hole that they can't climb out of in time before the deadline. Because if the Cubs do go far back in this division, 5, 6, 7 games to start out this month, or start out the first month of baseball, they're giving themselves 3 months to basically right the ship and prove not only that this won't happen again, but they are a legit top team in the National League. I don't see that happening, and I think the Cubs, if they do start out poorly, start shopping names and start considering what happens after 2021 if they don't re-sign some of their core guys. But worst case scenario, the Cubs got off to a horrible start, don't stay competitive in this relatively winnable division, and trade off guys like Chris Bryant and Javier Baez at the deadline. If there's one player I had to highlight on the Cubs that's maybe somewhat of a prospect, but not really anymore, that has a chance to be a superstar caliber player, it's probably Nico Hoerner. He's a second baseman. He was the first player called up in the 2018 draft out of necessity for the most part in 2019 for the Cubs. They needed a shortstop. Javier Baez was hurt. Nico Hoerner immediately got called up and started hitting, including hitting a 3-run shot in his first at-bat of the Cubs. He's a very high contact guy, a great defensive player, and plays a position that the Cubs don't really have anyone that would supersede him there. David Bodie's the only real competition at that spot, and Nico Hoerner has had an incredibly hot spring training. He's batting a little bit above 300 in OPS. That's right around 900. Obviously, spring training stats, you don't hold much stock into that, but Nico Hoerner's clearly seeing the ball well, and there's never been any issues about his athleticism, his defensive ability at second base, and his contact bat is something the Cubs absolutely need in their lineup. They are so power-heavy, top-heavy. There's a lot of guys with a similar profile. Nico Hoerner's one of those few contact bats that they can plug in that lineup and continue to keep the ball moving as other guys try and drive in runs. But Nico Hoerner is one of those guys where if he could start finding more contact at the plate and start making some of these adjustments we've seen him do in the minors and what have throughout his career, he could become a very pesky hitter in a Cub lineup that absolutely needs a pesky high contact hitter. Ultimately, if I had to pick what was going to happen with this Chicago Cub team, very homerish of me, picked them to be the division winners and win close to 90 games this year in our NL Central crossover episode. But if I had to be realistic, I think the Cubs ceiling is about 86, 87 wins. I think they could be in play for the division at that total, but realistically, probably a second or third place finish in the NL Central. I think the Cardinals have enough to really get them past to these teams at the moment, especially with Nolan Arenado. There's questions about their pitching, but I still think they're probably the class in this division, despite the Cubs winning the division last year. There's a lot of question marks for this Cubs team, and there's a lot of scenarios where we could see them doing really well and a lot of scenarios where we see them doing poorly. But if they were to win this division, they'd probably be one of those lower seeds and have to face someone like the Braves or the Dodgers. I'm just not sure they have enough to compete against those teams right now. But I could still see this team winning this division because the NL Central won't be very competitive. And if teams can beat up on each other in that division, it could give them that necessary boost they need to just barely be ahead of a team like the Reds or the Brewers or the Cardinals. But if I had to pick something, I would say the Cubs probably finish in second or third place with about 86 wins. Do not advance to the playoffs and look at some type of teardown after the 2021 season.
If you're looking for value on the Cubs roster, consider catcher Wilson Contreras. There are many Cubs that need to be better than they were in 2020, but Contreras is a catcher who has twice hit more than 20 home runs and twice had a batting average better than 270. If he does that, he rises up near the top of the class. On the other hand, beware starting pitcher Zach Davies, who had a career year for the Padres last season, a 2.73 ERA, 1.07 whip, 8.2 strikeouts per nine. If that's who he is now, great. But it would be no surprise if Davies' ERA was 3.73 or even 4.23 in 2021. So don't pay full retail prices on his 2020 performance.
The Reds made the playoffs last year. Was it a fluke because of the 60-game season? Let's ask Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds.
The biggest storyline surrounding the Reds coming into 2021 is the 60-game season that the Reds experienced. Is that all that Reds fans are going to get after 5 years of essentially complete futility? They were a losing ball club. They said they were rebuilding. They're rebuilding didn't work. They didn't really rebuild into anything. And Reds fans are wondering, is 60 games all we're going to get? Because they heard rumors this offseason about possibly trading Luis Castillo, maybe trading Sonny Gray, maybe trading Mike Moustakas, Nicholas Castellanos, maybe even a Eugenio Suarez. And when you talk about that, you're talking about going into another period of rebuilding. So the biggest question is, will they be successful this year? Or is 2020 and the 60-game season in which the Reds went 31-29, is that it? The next question, who was the biggest offseason addition for your team and how will they affect the team's on-field success? This is a tough one because the Reds went into the offseason with a stated goal that they were going to improve the shortstop position. Freddie Galvis last year was not what they were looking for, and they brought up Jose Garcia a little bit early. He wasn't ready. He showed it at the plate. He didn't quite have the chops and the confidence to stand into the batter's box and face down major league pitchers, so he needs a little bit more seasoning in the minor leagues before you can hand him the keys. So what did they do? Absolutely nothing. They completely whiffed on any of the big three shortstop candidates, letting them all go to different teams. And they brought in a non-roster invitee in D. Strange Gordon, who hadn't played shortstop in 8 years. So I think the biggest acquisition that the Reds got was a healthy Eugenio Suarez, because he's going to move to short. He's going to move from third base to shortstop, and that's going to open up a lot of possibilities for this team. Due to Eugenio Suarez losing 15 pounds and moving to shortstop, Mike Moustakas will move back to his natural third base, and the Reds will get to start, should be starting, rookie Jonathan India at second base, a guy who added the ability to field second base competently to his arsenal at the alternate site in 2020, and he's hit really well in spring training. He's looking to break into the major league roster here this season, and I think he can. And because of Eugenio Suarez cutting down on those pounds, he's going to be able to. So the biggest acquisition was Eugenio Suarez losing 15 pounds this offseason. The next question being, what is the best case scenario and how will it be achieved? I believe the best case scenario would be the Reds win the NL Central Division. There are teams in the East, teams in the West that are going to have a much better record than the Reds are this season because they are a more complete team. But the Reds have the ability to bounce back. They've got some guys in this lineup that last year did not perform to the back of their baseball card. And a guy like Eugenio Suarez, who is ready to take the reins as a star in Major League Baseball. He's not there yet, but that's going to be part of this best case scenario. He leads the team in hitting. He is the consistent rock in the middle of the lineup. And Joey Votto continues his kind of power renaissance that he saw at the end of 2020, the final 3 weeks of the season. And he brings that to 2021 with those two factors and some other guys bouncing back to certain degrees. The Reds lineup will produce far better and more closely to what Reds fans expected before the 2020 season than what they got. And with the lineup improvement and the fact that they still got their top two aces in Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray and Tyler Mahle taking the next step in the pitching rotation, they win the division and they make the playoffs in 2021. Now, conversely, the next question, what is the worst case scenario and how will it be achieved? The worst case scenario is that the Reds finish fourth in this division. Look, there are four teams that are vying for the NL Central Division crown. If the Reds finish fourth in the division, it will be because Eugenio Suarez was not able to take the step into stardom that we believe that he can. Joey Votto continues his career downswing that he has seen over the last couple of years, and the rotation that Sonny Gray is already having back issues as the year begins. Sonny Gray is on the shelf for most of the season dealing with injuries, and Tyler Mahle kind of remains a guy who you're like, okay, he could be good one day, but he doesn't take that next step. And overall, the pitching is just mediocre, and the Reds end up finishing in fourth place. I think that their best case scenario is to win the division, but the worst case is to finish fourth. And before we get into where I think they will actually finish for the year, the young player or prospect who stands a chance of becoming a household name by season's end is Tyler Stevenson. Dude's got the best bat of all of the young prospects on this team, and he could find himself in the middle of the order in a couple of years. Right now, he's not going to be asked to do that because there's other guys there that are making more money than him and have been doing it longer than him. So he's going to get a chance to just kind of get used to the major leagues. He broke into the majors last season, hit a home run in his very first swing, also made Craig Kimbrel look silly on the mound as he drew a walk in a game against the Cubs where he made Kimbrel look just completely uncomfortable. So I'm looking at Tyler Stevenson to be that impact young player. Lastly, what I think the Reds will do. This is not a bold prediction. This is a regular prediction. I think the Reds will win 82 games and finish in second in the division just outside the wild card. This is not something that I think is out of the question. I think this is a team where the win total is between 78 and 83 wins, and that is without somebody taking that next step. I think that we'll see Gino take that next, Eugenio Suarez take the next step. I just don't know what we're going to get out of the rest of the lineup. So I think that the Reds finish the season with 82 wins. They miss the playoffs, and then they have a tough decision to make with their manager as David Bell is in his contract season.
If you're looking for value on the Cincinnati Reds roster, consider outfielder Nick Senzel, a top prospect who hasn't put it together or managed to stay healthy yet. He could have 15 home runs, 15 stolen bases with everyday playing time, and that's at least a little reason to take a shot at him late in your draft. On the other hand, beware first baseman Joey Votto. The Reds legend can still get on base, so that matters in on-base percentage leagues, and he might hit for some power, but his batting average has been in decline for a few years now. That leaves Votto as a late-round pick at best.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. We've got the Final Four in basketball, and we've got playoff basketball, hockey. The Major League season is about to start. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head up to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code LOCKEDON. You know, we've been telling about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. It is an incredible low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing, and I mean amazing, tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Well, guess what? Now is time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness, and we are down to an incredible Final Four. Cookies and cream, cookie dough chunk, mint brownie, and coconut brownie chunk. Wow, coconut brownie chunk, beet caramel brownie. It's an upset. It's a Built Bar bracket buster. Now vote for your favorite Built Bars out there. You have to go to BuiltBar.com or go to bar_built on Twitter. Remember, use the promo code LOCKDOWN15 to get 50% off your next order. That's LOCKDOWN15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar ever. The Locked On MLB Division Preview Series continues on Locked On MLB Today, and every episode from now until the 31st features in-depth looks at each team in every division. Today's the NL Central. Tomorrow we've got the NL West. It's on the Locked On MLB podcast feed right now. Follow Locked On MLB on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, folks, let me tell you something. Ethan Smith is a brave, brave man. He is going to be following the Pittsburgh Pirates, one of my favorite teams. But do you know what? Not sure what kind of a chance they have in 2021. What are their lingering questions? Let's ask Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates.
What's going on, everybody? This is Ethan, your host that does the most over at Locked On Pirates. What's going on, Locked On MLB Nation? I got some stuff for you today. what is the biggest storyline around the Pittsburgh Pirates going into the season? Well, I think it's going to be a good one because is Ke Bryan Hayes going to reach the stardom that we all think he's going to reach, which I think the answer is yes. But another big question and probably the biggest storyline is who joins him as integral parts of the rebuild. Mitch Keller, Brian Reynolds, maybe even Colin Moran. Kevin Newman's been kicking tail in spring training. There's so many other guys that could join him in there, but that's going to be the biggest storyline is who joins Ke Bryan Hayes as the only or as the integral parts of what's going on in Pittsburgh in the Ben Cherington rebuild. Who was the biggest offseason addition for the Pirates and how will they affect the team's on-field success? I think that was veteran, the Todd father himself, Todd Frazier. Todd Frazier is going to teach Ke Bryan Hayes and Colin Moran so many things. He can play third and first base. He's going to be an integral part of that locker room. He's already cemented himself as a father figure to a lot of the young players. I think he's going to do very well. Maybe even if he does very well, he gets traded at some point. But I think before then, he teaches Ke Bryan Hayes a lot of things. He's going to teach Colin Moran a lot of things, and it's going to help the infield only get better. What is the best case scenario for the Pittsburgh Pirates and how will it be achieved? I think that is Mitch Keller finally having a good season. If Mitch Keller can cement himself as the ace in the Pirates system with guys like Quinn Priester, Carmen Majinski, Brennan Malone, Tanaj Thomas, all in the system ready to come up and get going, I would love to see Keller cement himself as the ace. He's had two of the weirdest years to ever start in Major League Baseball that I've ever seen any player have to deal with. So I think it's going to be really fun for him if he can just really get that going. And I'm very excited to see if Mitch Keller can finally take that next step. And what is the worst case scenario and how will it be achieved? That right there is probably more hinging on if other players, if Ke Bryan Hayes, first off, doesn't really show a lot of promise in a 162-game season, and if other players don't really join him in the rebuilding process of being integral parts of that rebuild. There's a lot of different things that could be worst-case scenario. The Pirates aren't going to win a lot of games, so I'm not going to say wins just because it's not really a big part of what's going on right now. It's more or less going to be maybe off-field issues. Are these players going to progress in the system? How does everyone else other than Ke Bryan Hayes progress and what direction does this team go? And also, I think a worst case would actually be winning a lot of games in a division that's arguably the worst division in baseball because you don't want to go ahead and get too far in this rebuild already. You want to take your time with it. Who is one young player or prospect who stands a chance of becoming a household name by season's end? I think it could be Miguel Yajure. Miguel Yajure was an addition in the Jameson Taillon trade to the New York Yankees. He did really good last year with the Yankees organization because of all the injuries they had in the pitching staff. He's looked really good in spring training. And with 162 games coming off of a 60-game season, I'm not expecting a lot of pitchers to really pitch that much. So I could see the Pirates picking up a six-man rotation, and I think Yajure could fit himself into that mold. David Bednar's another guy who comes to mind, but I do think Miguel Yajure, he fits the bill very well with the family. Hooray, let's go. And I think he's going to be very good by season's end. Your best predictions for how the season will end, win total, place in division standings, playoff placement. Well, Pirates are not making the playoffs. Although they are in the worst division in baseball, they are not making the playoffs. Do not let anyone tell you any different. Win total, I think they're going to be in about the 60s to 70 win total. I've seen a lot of sometimes they'll say 50 wins. I don't think it'll be that bad depending on how the season goes. It could be, but I do think they're going to be more into the 60, 67 range around that area. Obviously, that will place us last in the division, but as if you ever tune into my podcast, as I've said before, the Pirates could be the biggest reason why a team in the NL Central either wins or loses that division with the four-headed monster of those teams that are fighting for that division crown this year. And I mean, if I had to say anything else about the Pittsburgh Pirates and two Pirates Nation and two Locked On MLB, if you want to know more about prospects in the system, if you want to know more about everything going on in Pittsburgh, even though it's kind of all over the place right now, if you want to know when we're going to contend, if you want to hear some fun player interviews and stuff like that, come check me out. My name is Ethan Smith. I am, of course, the host who does the most over here on the Locked On MLB Network. I've been on the Locked On MLB show with Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. And I hope you guys tune into my podcast. I hope the Pirates give you some reason to watch them this year. If you see some prospects or drafted them in fantasy baseball, I hope they give you a good reason to tune in to watch some games back in PNC Park. And I hope you guys have an awesome time watching the 2020 season.
If you're looking for fantasy value on the Pittsburgh Pirates, consider third baseman Ke'Bryan Hayes, a rare bright spot on the Pirates roster. Hayes looked every bit a future star in his first taste of the major leagues last season, and now the franchise is holding on tight with hopes that he can build on that fantastic start to his career. On the other hand, be cautious with shortstop Kevin Newman. He was good for double-digit home runs and stolen bases while hitting .308 in 2019. Last season, one home run, zero stolen bases, and hit .224. Shortened season or not, Newman was not nearly as productive as he was the season before.
Thanks so much, Scott. That was Scott Cullen of Locked On Fantasy Baseball covering all the teams. He's doing an incredible job on a great podcast. He did all the NL Central teams today. He's done every single team except five up until this point, which would be the Giants, the Dodgers, the Padres, the Rockies, and the Diamondbacks. Coincidentally, all those teams are in the National League West, and tomorrow we're going to have our National League West preview. And Scott Cullen has thoughts on all those teams, too. Follow his podcast, Locked On Fantasy Baseball. And while you're at it, follow Jeff Carr at Locked On Reds, Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates, Jake over at Locked On Brewers, Sean over at Locked On Cubs, and Lucas over at Locked On Cardinals. All doing a terrific job. Should be a really interesting NL Central. Do you know what? I personally think the Cardinals are going to win the division, but I think the Brewers are going to be big-time contenders. And it's really, really curious to see what the Cubs and the Reds, two teams that were in the postseason last year, blink and you missed them, but they were in the postseason. Interesting to see what would happen to those two teams who might be rebuilding or they could take another shot at it. And, oh boy, we are family. I hope one of these days the Pirates do get it together. Anyway, listen to all those shows and listen to this show. We've got the NL West preview tomorrow. This has been Locked On MLB for the 30th day of March, 2021. Season's right around the corner. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.